You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She owns the GameStop in Sheboygan. Our guest, we're going to talk all about games and what the game board, rather, in downtown Sheboygan and how games are good for you. Lynn Potyan is here. Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. It's Lynn Potyan.
I apologize.
That's okay. And I do not own the GameStop, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, you own the game board. Yes, the game board in downtown Sheboygan. Let's talk a little bit, Lynn, about how you got into this, because there's a connection with one of your children.
Right. Well, the story is, it goes back 25 years ago. My son was diagnosed with a severe speech delay, and later on with a neurological writing disorder. But in the meantime, he was using games at speech therapy, and I worked with him at home using board games and card games that were coming out of Europe to help him find a different cognitive path to learning. We were very successful at doing that, and such I opened a store and then have in the last 20 years been helping other individuals with special needs, autism, and all the way through end-of-life stages with dementias.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing.
It is. It is really amazing.
Yeah.
I would think when people hear your story, they're gonna be you must reach some hear some skepticism from folks. Really, playing a game made your son better?
No, absolutely don't get any skepticism. Actually,
really?
No, playing games is actually super important for your cognitive abilities. So, I mean, everything we've ever done is with cognitive learning. We're here in America. We're one of the few places in the world that does not believe in playing games for learning. It actually kind of translates back to commercials being given to us and fed to us from the 60s to the 90s. It was an unfortunate accident for the commercial because the commercials were really good and they said that kids play games. And so adults thought, well, only kids play games. And it's kind of an underlying current that people believe. But if you go to Europe, everybody plays board games. Everybody plays card games. It is the best way to keep yourself sharp. And as you mentally decline, that's the best way to stay in tune socially and academically.
That doesn't surprise me, Lynn, because it feels like when they nowadays in especially with smartphones and more variety in board games, you can access more independently made board games, but they have to almost say, like, it's a board game for adults. You have to tell an adult it's okay to play this game. You're not a child. but I mean, I contend that, like, when I was a kid, we used to play board games with my parents, and I believe the box said from ages 8 and up, so that kind of, you know, includes everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's unfortunate that it was more like the commercial on Saturday morning cartoons that you would hear that would say, oh, these are focused on children, because the commercials were focused to keep the kids in tune to watching the TV on Saturday mornings.
Yep.
So that's just the sad fact. I mean, depending on what your age is, you probably grew up with some of that. I did. I'm 59. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching those commercials. And, you know, I had Monopoly and Twister and Careers and the Mystery Date.
Oh, Mystery Date. Oh, Lynn. Oh, my God. Mystery Date.
Brought you back, didn't
Oh, yes.
He has a car.
Oh, he had a tie. Ooh.
And those were delightful. Those are great games. But also, if you think about the Mystery Date game, that wasn't for little kids.
No.
That was like for 20-something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole, boy, that's a whole show, Lynn. We could talk about that.
One game.
Seriously.
This guy doesn't even own a Ferrari. Why am I playing this? Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Lynn Potyan is the owner of the game board in downtown Sheboygan, and we were talking about how board games are good for you. And you mentioned, Lynn, because I'm a little older than you, but I think we grew up in the same time period where, as a family, we would play Life, which no one ever finished because it was too long. And
what a commentary.
Seriously, though, and Monopoly. But what are games that are really good for cognition?
Oh, my gosh. Every game is.
No matter what?
Every game that is out there, no matter what. Every game. And it's really intriguing because there's obviously educational games, but mostly educational games don't involve a lot of critical thinking as much as you would think. So educational games don't have that fun side. They have that, I'm sorry, I spoke wrong. They have critical thinking, but they don't have the fun part.
Right.
And so when you put the critical thinking and the fun part together, then you have this really great combination. And that's really what playing games is about, right? We do an activity so that we stay involved and we're learning and we're having a good time and we're building memories and we're having socialization and we're having that experience with each other. And then when it's all over, you've actually probably learned how to recognize shapes or numbers or letters, or learn to take turns, learn to have a critical way of thinking about something, how to handle your resources, how to manage money, all those other pieces that come with it. So you're learning something at all times.
Even though you might not be aware of it.
Not aware of
right.
it. Yeah. Yeah. That's the best part. That's what games are all about. I mean, games started over in Europe. You know, I mean, you could trace them all the way back to the pyramids. When what did they do? They played a game of bones with the people who were building the pyramids. Unfortunately, those were slaves. But in order to make the slaves work, they didn't let them play a game. They had them build the pyramids, and then they fed them. But on their off day, they got to play the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they didn't feed them.
And going back to the evolution of this, because when I was a kid, anything that was educational was boring.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've especially with the dawn of technology, and you can make education, whether it's a game or a story or anything, you can make it so much fun and engaging. And really, I think it's more about, especially for young people, inflaming their minds to curiosity rather than teaching them something. It's teaching them how to be curious, which is great. I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Curiosity is the best thing.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, though, I wanted to discuss with you really quick, and this is a conversation I had with my brother-in-law, who is a doctor, and it is while games are great, what you said, I totally believe all games are good for keeping mentally sharp. There are games out there, especially on our phone, that say you'll get smarter or you'll make your memory. Like they claim to do these things that I think physiologically
are impossible.
Or if you're looking to do something like that, I mean, I don't think a game can make you smarter, but like if you're looking to sharpen your memory, it's also something you should, if you feel like you're having memory problems, maybe talk to your doctor, but also engage in gaming with other people because it's also great for community.
But here's the thing, you're getting me confused with, I'm talking tabletop games, you're talking apps on phones. So it's a different thing, an app on a phone and computers for the most part. There's no shame in playing video games. Video games are very much more socially engaging than they used to be. But back when Jane and I were kids, that wasn't a thing.
That's right.
So it wasn't socially engaging. You were in direct competition with the person if there was somebody even in the room with you. So let's go back to apps on phones. They are isolating. They do not allow you to engage with other people. So you're no longer learning about facial expressions. You're no longer engaging with community or with people who are around you. So you're isolating yourself. And if you have a cognitive decline happening, if you're older, then that is something that's going to make it worse. That's not going to make it better. You're isolating yourself is the last thing you want to do. You want to be more socially engaging. And as people go aging and they hit a cognitive decline, they have a tendency to avoid situations where they're uncomfortable. They don't go out in public. They don't see people. They don't drive anymore.
Right.
And those are things that are going to only be escalated by isolating somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, can you play a word game or a crossword or play there's wonderful little puzzle games on the phone? Yes, absolutely. But you have to balance that with whatever you're doing socially too.
What?
So board games, though, have that tendency to grab all of that and put it all into one place. Sorry, Jane, I cut you off.
No, not at all. And I just think you said something so interesting, Lynn, in that especially for people who might be on the spectrum, I can see where doing a face-to-face board game, learning about facial expressions, oh, yeah. right? That's got to just be mm-hmm. so critically yeah. important.
Yeah. Yeah. When you, there's a, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is amazing. It's a role-playing game. Any role-playing game is really good. If you have somebody with autism, because they're learning how to take risks, they're learning how to take turns, and when they make a failure or they do something wrong in the game, they don't personally have a failure. Their character has a failure. They have to start over again, but it's a learning session. They learn mm-hmm. how to handle a social situation or how to handle defeat in a very nice, comfortable place, as opposed to some place that's likely like a school
right.
that will embarrass them. We don't want to embarrass anybody.
No. Right. No. It's a failure that's easier to accept, right? Because again, it's in Absolutely. A different kind of environment.
Yeah. I think yeah. this is fantastic. I've always been someone who's been very averse to board games, not because I wouldn't enjoy them, but because I'm always afraid that the rules, I will not understand the rules, and someone will have to explain yeah. them to me, and therefore making them not enjoy it, because they're like, well, I had to explain to Greg for 40 minutes why this did this thing. And so So
there's an app out there called Dized, D-I-Z-E-D,
mm-hmm.
and we really focus on it at our store because it's a bridge that takes you from wanting to open the game to playing the game, because you don't have to read the directions. It's an app that will teach you how to play the game while you're playing it.
D-I-Z-E-D?
Games. Yeah, D-I-Z-E-D, Dized. It's an incredible app. Not every game is on it yet, but
yeah.
a whole bunch of games are on it. And it makes it so much easier, because some of those harder games, like, you have to get a law degree to read them.
Well,
are you kidding me?
I saw a video on YouTube talking about the most complicated game ever. I think it's called the Conquer of North Africa. And to play yeah. it with everybody involved that you need, it takes about 10 years.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It's so complicated yeah. that it's a video of comedy now.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to continue.
Yeah, I only have 10 years.
Yeah. Right? Who's got that much? Good heavens, I thought Monopoly was bad. I thought life was right. bad, much less a 10-year game. We're going to continue our conversation yeah. with Lynn Podian.
Podian.
Podian, all right.
Yeah, we'll just call her Lynn. Lynn owns the game board yeah. in downtown Sheboygan, and she curates a whole bunch of different strategic and cooperative board games for all ages, and has community game nights as well. We're going to keep this going, as well as your favorite games. Mm-hmm. What games do you like to play at 855-752-4842, Sticklos? You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest is underway. So after 11 o'clock, Tom Hartman will have the keyword for you to text in via the Civic Media app, and you can pick up either $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And then you're in the running for the grand prize, either a vacation, a summer vacation in either Door County or Baraboo, and gas money to get you there and back.
That's cool.
That is pretty nice. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for that keyword. We play this contest four times a day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m. with Todd, and then 4 p.m. with Maggie Dawn. Tom Hartman with your next word for our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. Right now, we are joined by the owner of the game board in downtown Sheboygan. Lynn Podian is our guest, and we're talking all things games and how games are good for you. It's interesting, Lynn, you had mentioned that isolation is not a good thing when you're talking about games, because there is one word game that I play on my phone all the time that I love, and it's called Bonza. And it's essentially if you took a crossword puzzle and you cut it up and then you had to put it back together. But
that's very cool.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And I turned up my friend in Texas onto it. So we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Because there are people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything you play is going to be good. Like anything.
Yeah.
Seriously. There's not a bad thing. It's that we don't play enough as adults. Mm-hmm. We don't play. And we need to learn to play more. I think that's what Europe gets right. They did a cognitive cohort study where they followed a city of people for 20 years. And when they got done with the study, they found that 15% less chance of getting dementia if you were one of the people in the study who was playing board games and card games.
Really?
That's a really cool statistic to know about, yeah.
That's significant.
It is, yeah.
Well, Link, if I can ask you a piece of advice,
I didn't mean to dumbfound you.
No. I mean, it's both amazing and absolutely not shocking that Europe is getting it right when it comes to this topic. That like I don't want to get political or commentary wise, but yeah. It doesn't surprise me. But as I said before in the earlier segment, you know, I have a lot of hesitation playing games because I'm afraid of rules can be overwhelming, the rules of play. Yeah. So it makes me say, I'm good. I don't want to ruin your good time by me not knowing. And that's, are there games for adults that would be a nice dip in the water.
Dipping your toe in.
That is like, it's easy games. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it gets you just into that realm to move forward.
Yeah, we specialize. We curate in bringing in a bunch of games that are going to be in all different levels for adults and kids. I would say, do you like playing poker? And do you like Yahtzee?
Yeah.
Because Yam Slam is one of my favorites.
Yam Slam.
It's a game where you play dice. And you take poker chips for your Yahtzee turn. And there's only five chances to win each section. So there's only five full houses. So if there's, you know, five of you playing, you could each win one. But once they're all gone, there's no more.
It's done.
You can't do a full house. You got to roll for something else. So that's a great way to do cognitive change. Dominoes is great. Like, dominoes is pretty simple in the concept. But depending on how you want to play it, it can be deeper. I love games that have simple rules, but that have that ability for you to go deeper into the game. Mm-hmm. And there's so many good games. I always hate to like mention a bunch of games only because it depends on who you are and what you enjoy and what you're drawn to. So, but we have sections in our store. We have like, you know, our top 40 section of what we as staff think are the best games. This is not based on anybody else's opinion around the world. This is just based on what our store has done really well with. We have a sections, classic games, where you'll find the Yahtzees and the Roll For Its and Abalone, things like that are more abstract strategy. We have a two-player section, and then we have puzzle games and puzzles, and we have a whole children's section. So I think it just depends on what you're looking for. Oh, and party games. Gosh, party games are the best. Light rules, fun interaction, quick and easy, and then it's a nice jumping off spot to go and get into other things. Yeah.
We don't have a whole lot of time left. We got about 2 minutes left, Lynn.
Yeah, sorry.
But I just wanted to say as well, this can be really important for people who have dementia.
Yes, yes. And their caregivers. I think I would stress for caregivers because there's no bringing somebody back, like you said. You can help to try and rebuild neural pathways, but with dementia, that's different. You can't really do that. But you can help somebody slow their cognitive decline a little bit or have a better chance at the journey. The problem is whoever's the caregiver, that person needs...
They need a break, too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're going to include the link to the game board in downtown Sheboygan in our show notes. If people have questions, if they want to check it out, Sheboygan's not that far. Go take a run up there and check out the game selection.
We renamed it.
Oh,
you did?
We renamed it last year. Yeah, we're calling it Shaboard Games, Wisconsin.
Shaboard
Games, Wisconsin. Lynn with the silly pun. I'm loving it.
Lynn with the win. Shaboard Games. Lynn Podian is the owner of Shaboard Games, the game board in downtown Sheboygan. It's been such a pleasure, Lynn. Thank you so very, very much.
You too. Thanks for having me. You guys are delightful.
Have a great day. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball action coming up later on today, 5:35. Our broadcast starts. The Crew on the road against the Reds. You can listen to the game over terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WCQM, WBZH in Hayward, WCQM in Park Falls, WISS in Oshkosh, and also WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha. The Crew at the Reds. Our broadcast starts tonight at 5:35. If you were listening before we went to the news, our guest was Lynn Poyaden, who is the owner of the game board in downtown Sheboygan, and we were talking about board games, and they're really good for you for a whole bunch of different reasons. I just think it's, I think it's interesting. I think it's fascinating, and I think it's, it, I think it's great.
Yeah.
So we want to know what games you play.
Yeah.
What is your game? Family gets together for Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, whatever. Is cribbage your thing? Is it sheep's head? Shopscoff.
Is it, I know.
Maybe it's Clue.
Oh, yeah.
I bet there are people who still play Clue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's all different kinds. I know that for my family, we play a game called Joking Hazard, which is more of a card game. It's not, it's a strategy thing. So everyone's familiar with apples to apples and how like you get two cards, you get a word, and then someone picks whatever the winner card is.
Okay.
In the round, one person is the judge. It's the same idea, only it's comic strip panel based, where you put down one card as that's the community card, and then you you put down two cards, and then you put down your proposed third panel for the comic book strip. You know how, okay, comics and newspapers, Jane. Let's go back to news. You don't.
I think I'm following.
So you know how like Garfield is three panels.
Yes. Okay.
So
one card is the starting card.
Two cards they put down for, and then you as the player choose the last card to end the joke.
Okay.
And then the judge who puts down the first two cards says, "Here's the winner. Here are the three panels. This is how it makes the most sense."
Gotcha.
We played that one a lot. You can play for hours. You can play with a lot of people. And
it sounds like fun.
Yeah. It also, there's a lot less fighting involved unless you get someone who gets
very
adamant about how much they think their card is the best one. And I've played that with people. I'm like, this is a game.
And they're defending why they should win.
I don't understand why I didn't win.
Oh, no.
You shouldn't try to understand.
You don't play with those people anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
One time with that and you're done.
Yeah.
As you said, it's a game. Mm-hmm. People, lighten up a little bit. 855-752-4842. What games do you play with the family? What games do you play with friends? I know during COVID, board games like jigsaw puzzles took off big time.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you playing? Greg from Waukesha texted in, "This is a battle I always have with my friends, Jane and Greg. Is Yahtzee a board game? Some of my friends say because it's rolling dice, it's not a board game. What say you guys? Yahtzee is absolutely a board game.
I believe you roll dice in Dungeons and Dragons, and I would call that. I mean, well, I don't know.
But you roll dice in Monopoly.
I guess, yeah. That's not a fair...
assessment of a board game.
I also think to say something like, well, that's not a board game. Who cares? Do you have fun? Are you having fun, Greg? If you're having fun, then it doesn't matter the simple label. You're playing a game. You're having a good time. That's all that matters.
What's your game? 855-752-4842. Dave from New Berlin, Sudoku is awesome.
Yeah.
I have to really think about that game.
Well, there's two versions of Sudoku for me. There is phone Sudoku, and then there's book, like physical paper Sudoku. Right. And the physical paper one makes, because I want to try not erase as much as possible. So I really like to concentrate. Whereas on phone, it's a little bit easier and a little more forgiving.
It's more forgiving, yeah.
Yeah, so I like Sudoku, but the problem for me with Sudoku is I will then just dive into it. I will be enveloped by my phone.
For hours,
and I will get nothing done.
See, and I think that's the one good thing about the game that I had mentioned to Lynn. It's called Bonza, B-O-N-Z-A, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bonza, and you only get to play one a day. There's one new puzzle a day.
Wow.
And you can go into other ones that other people have made.
Yeah.
But they're not nearly as challenging.
Okay.
So, wow. Yeah, so, it's I get my one fit. I wait until like 5:30. It's like, oh, I can play my game.
So this is a phone thing, a device thing?
I play it on my tablet.
Okay.
I play it on my tablet. And again, it's as if you had a filled out crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
And then someone took a scissors and cut it up. Mm-hmm. And they give you one clue to put the puzzle back together.
Wow.
Yeah, it can drive you cuckoo.
You also play that other game too, the other puzzle game that you were talking about with me and Calvin. And when Calvin looked at it, he was like, oh my gosh, this is...
House of Da Vinci, but that's a whole nother world.
These are not board games per se either. These are device games.
This is a device game. Yeah. Yep, this yeah. Bonza is. What are you playing? What is your board game? And... who wins the most? 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. My sisters and I used to play board games all the time. We didn't have TV or anything.
Right.
And we used to play Chinese checkers on the old metal game board. And then also... Parcheesi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those were our favorites. Mom liked Scrabble.
Yep, and we still play Scrabble. My sisters and I will play Scrabble. I love that game.
Yeah,
I love word games. I'm curious with Chinese checkers because we had one of those boards. We had Chinese checkers on one side and then regular checkers on the other side. We used to play with the Chinese checkers. We never followed any rules.
Yeah.
Were there actual rules for that game? Because I'd love to know what they were.
Yes, there were. You have it's like a star.
Yeah.
And then you put the colored marbles on each point in the star, and then you try to get your man to the middle.
Oh. We were just playing with the marbles, and we're jumping over things, and we never actually played the game, I don't think, ever. Thank you so much, Ali. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. What games do you play?
Looking back now, we played a muted version of Monopoly where we just wanted to go around the board and collect money or go to jail. We didn't build houses or anything like all of the darkest senses of Monopoly we never played. We're just gonna go around and around until we have
and then
we're done. Calvin, what about you? I know you and your family play games.
Yeah, we do. Me and my mom both like to play euchre, but we're the only two who know how to play, and my brother refuses to learn.
All right.
So we don't really play euchre too often.
Okay.
But,
euchre is a card game.
Yes, that's a card game. Then we play Ticket to Ride, which is a game. The board is, we have the standard edition is just the United States, so it has cities and then train routes connecting different cities. And you have to match cards to build train routes, and there's points and.
Oh, I like the sound of that. What's that called?
It's called Ticket to Ride.
Also, the original name was Building the Megalithic Railroads of America.
Let's change the name.
They're like, well, how about Ticket to Ride?
That sounds better.
And then we play Settlers of Catan, which is. We played it twice in the last week, and it's frustrated me. I don't know why I'm so bad at it, but I've just been terrible the last two times we've played. That's a little bit more involved, but it's pretty much you roll dice for resources and then use those resources to build roads and settlements.
I remember I used to be part of a very short time. This only lasted like a couple months, but I was part of a weekly game of Risk, which is a very heavy, probably the mother of all strategy games that has born all these other ones.
Right.
And I remember every week I would lose horribly. And one week, due to the incompetence of everybody else, I won. I'm like, I'm never playing this game
because
again.
Because you're going out
I
on
won.
Top.
I'm retiring on top, conqueror of the world, because someone doesn't know how to roll dice correctly. Mike.
I'm taking my win and I'm going home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Terry listening on WAUK says chronology and sequence are great games. John from Oshkosh says we play a card game called Polish Poker. It's crap on your neighbor. Basically with a non-PC name, play it at get-togethers with the in-laws, 25 cents a round.
There you go. See, that's my mom is she loves poker. She's very, very good at poker, but she was never like the I'm going to go win us a car with poker or I'm going to break the house. It was right. Just she played with her cousin. My mom and my dad would play with her cousins every once a month. And the thing is, how'd you do last night? Oh, I won a lot. I won like $2.50 because they played nickel, dime, and quarter.
Oh, that sounds like my mother.
No dollars, no beyond that. It was low stakes, high fun.
Yeah. My mother lived for penny slots.
Yeah, exactly.
What games do you and your family play? 855-752-4842. You can call and or text. Megan in Sun Prairie listening on WMDX. My family, Calvin, loves Ticket to Ride. But last time we saw my parents, we got them turned onto Cascadia. Super fun.
Cascadia. That just sounds like a...
We're going to have to write these down and we'll have to revisit them.
And Carol in Waukesha listening to WAUK, I've heard this one a lot before. Bananagrams.
Do we know what Bananagrams is?
I don't know what it is. We own it at home. We have a ton of board games at home. We play none of them.
You and Bridget?
Yes. Bridget loves board games.
And you never play with her.
Well, hey, you know what? You know what? Don't you dare. All I know is that Bananagrams comes in a bag that looks like a banana. And the bag, like all the pieces are inside of that.
Well, now I think you have to bring it in.
Well, now I think you should be nicer to me because sometimes I don't feel like playing board games. And I have anxiety. Leave me alone.
What board games do you play? 855-752-4842. This all jumping off, again, from our conversation with Lynn Poyeton, who runs the game board in Sheboygan. And if you've got somebody in your family who's got dementia or Alzheimer's dealing with something like that, I highly encourage you to check out their website.
And also, Lynn spoke about that this can help for people who are on the spectrum, help them with understanding decision-making, community interaction, decision-making, things of that nature. PJ on the live stream says Gnome Games in Appleton is a good place to check out if you're on the side of the Lake Winnebago.
Good to know.
And he also plays video games, Xbox, and mobile apps. I'm always very hesitant. There's all those advertisements on your phone about the games where
you can win.
You can win money, and it's always a gift card. But I'm even with a gift card, I'm like, I don't know.
It makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, and what makes me wonder what list I'm going to get on.
Also, what are the tax implications? Because like if you win over a certain amount, I'm sure you have to report it, even if it's a game card. I don't know.
We don't bust for financial crimes anymore. Where have you been?
Very true. If that happens to me, I'll just be like, I love Trump. And they'll be like, you're pardoned.
You cheated on your taxes? You're a good American. You're a good American. Yeah. Calvin?
I was just going to tag on to what PJ said. I would shout out Odd Willow Game Store in Maguanago and the Inner Sanctum Game Store in Racine.
The Inner Sanctum.
Ooh. All right. Kirk from Eau Claire, brother and I played Chutes and Ladders. Played up the chutes and down the ladder, reverse chutes and ladders. Kurt from Waukesha, Fast Uno, Sheep's Head, Rummy 500, Hearts, Spades. Great new game, Wits and Wagers. From my dad, the family that plays together stays together.
I love Uno. Love Uno.
We'll play Uno and Bananagrams.
There you go.
It's coming up. On the way, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Boulder Dash Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on, wrapping up the live program. Actually, we have more live shows after Pete Schwabba. Mm-hmm. But from 6 to 8 o'clock, Pete Schwabba Tonight, he is going to be talking to our Northeastern Market Director and multi-talented Todd Michaels to talk about paranormal investigations.
I talked to Todd last year while you were on vacation. We talked about what he did for me with that is he got me to understand the difference of ghost hunting versus what he does which is communication experience. It's deeper, and I felt the desire to respect the idea more because we have our ghost hunters, sure, blah, blah, blah. But sure, Todd really broke it down and showed me how passionate he was about his goal in what he does.
Should be a really interesting discussion. Our great one and only Todd Michaels joining Pete Schwabba tonight between 6 and 8 p.m. on Nightlight. So stick around for that. Right now, though, 10:54, speaking of the fabulously voiced Todd Michaels, Calvin, it is time for... If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Today it's the Boulderdash edition. This from the Associated Press. Mark Thiessen with the byline. The headline reads, a 700-pound boulder pins Alaska man face down in a Glacier Creek for 3 hours.
Ouch.
An Alaska man who was pinned face down in an icy creek by a 700-pound boulder for 3 hours survived with only minor injuries, thanks in large part to his wife's quick thinking and a lot of luck. Kel Morris's wife held his head above water, otherwise he would have drowned.
Oh, my God.
For 3 hours.
God.
Kel Morris's wife held his head above water to prevent him from drowning while waiting for rescuers to arrive after Morris got pinned by a boulder, which crashed onto him while they were hiking in a remote area of Anchorage. His second stroke of luck happened when a sled dog company that operates on the glacier overheard the 911 call, and they offered up their helicopter to rescuers, which they could not get to with ATVs. So the man is face down in a creek with his wife holding his head up so he won't drown. And it's only through dumb luck that this dog sled company heard the 911 call and sent their helicopter to get him.
Do y'all remember the movie 127 Hours?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You go into that movie knowing how it's going to end. You're like, oh God, I can't. This is another movie. Like, this has all of the beats of deep action and buy-in and what's going to happen. Even if you know what's going to happen.
How it's
going to
end.
You still sit there going, oh God. And the woman just holding his head.
Out of the water.
When you first read it, my whole like from my waist down just hurt, because the idea of a boulder that size being on your body,
700 pounds,
sends shockwaves of pain through my body.
He is, again, minor injuries.
I would love to know what minor includes. Like, is it a broken this or a bruise,
dislocated
that,
or shoulder
it, yeah,
something?
It's like, yeah, or because Mia be like, oh, he has no leg. Like there should be massive injuries.
Yeah, this story does not include anything about that. It just says that once the rescuers got there, it took 7 men and inflatable airbags to get the boulder off of him as he was drifting in and out of consciousness. Morris, 61, says he realizes he's probably the luckiest man alive and luckier that I have such a great wife. Hey, honey, remember when you didn't want to do the laundry that time?
Oh, you don't want to go to the movie? I'm recalling when I held your head for three hours. We're going to see the new John Wick movie.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
that's the way amazing. Morris landed, there were rocks under him, in between his legs, and around him that actually caught the weight of the boulder, preventing him from getting crushed.
There it is. Okay.
But the massive rock still had him pinned, and he did feel intense pain in his left leg. He thought his leg was going to snap. But again, amazingly, got out of there without any life-threatening injuries.
And I do not mean this as a joke at all. But that to me just says, if you're going to take these expeditions, these big hiking, go with someone.
When he and his wife go hiking this weekend, they're going to stick to established trails.
When they go hiking this weekend, I'm retiring. I will go find a park, sit on a bench, and go, look at that lovely nature that can't... Well, it could kill me, but not as easily as a boulder.
No, he says we're going to stop trailblazing and stick to known trails. Probably a good idea.
Very
that wraps
good idea.
Up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Darren Van Ruden will be here to talk about our friends, the farmers. We're also going to talk about, there was a talk about bringing more movies and movie makers to Wisconsin. Nathan Deming is a filmmaker who spends his time between Wisconsin and Los Angeles. We're going to talk to him about film credits in Wisconsin and what that could do for us. So I hope you will join us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News coming up next on the Vast, statewide, countrywide, take us global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.